The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
I am here. I have been laughing with my guests before the show. If we can keep up the pitch that was going on before the show, you should have a really good time. You're listening to Waking Up in America, dynamic radio dialogues on issues that matter. And today, Ed Asner matters to me, and so does Cantor Elon Davidson. They matter to me. They're doing things that matter, and I love all of that stuff. In our 22nd year of radio, we are inviting angels and sponsors to bring us into your neighborhood. So if you've got a radio station in your neighborhood that you think needs to upgrade its programming, tell them about us or tell us about them. We'll see what we can put together for you. And then we can say, you know, we're in this town because of blah, blah, blah. So to get things really started off, I want to actually pledge allegiance to the United States of America. And so if you put your hand over your heart, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic, underline republic, for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And that's what we were given when we were born in America here. So I'm wanting to take it, and I'm wanting to make sure that our country is strong and healthy and also laughing a lot. So I'd like to bring you a mixture of really fascinating human beings to this show, all the way from nutritionists to... badass Ed Asner. You should see what happened to him when you try to say something nice about him. He goes to the dark side, but, you know, he does it fun. So I'm Dr. Val Kirkgaard, and I've been doing this stuff since 1987. I also carried the Olympic torch in 1984. And I hang out with people that are wonderful badasses that do great things in the world. And recently, day before yesterday, I actually saw Ed's new movie, which is Up, which made me sniff a bit. I was looking for a humanitarian biography on him, because most of the biographies that you read about Ed Asner, they say, you know, like 7-time Emmy winner, 3-time this, 4-time, 16 nominations for the Golden Globe, stripping over in his house on the floor, no doubt. I mean, the guy's loaded with all the nominations and the trophies that one person could possibly need for a lifetime. He's going to be 80 this year. He probably wants to lighten up a bit around 80, but what he's done is amazing, is phenomenal. That's a whole life all in its own right there. But why Cantor Elon Davidson and others are honoring Ed at Disney Hall this coming Sunday at 7 o'clock is not just because he's a big name and a good laugh, but because he stands for something. And just for your information, Mr. Asner, I talked to Jonathan Granoff before the show. Do you remember his name?
Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, you had some things that you had to do, and we couldn't put the show together when we wanted to, and I knew that he'd love to know that you were going to be on the show, so I called him, and he was in a security meeting. He's the head of the Global Security Commission.
Yeah.
And I gave him a buzz, and he said, "Val, I'll do the show. I can't do it right now. I'm in the middle of a security meeting, but I want to do it and give Ed all my best."
Well, that was very, very nice of him. I'm glad he's taking care of business.
He is. The man, Jonathan Granoff, is the one that got me into the Nobel Laureates Conference. He got me into the State of the World Forum. He gets me into about any high-level thing that I want to participate in, and... So do you, by the way. You know, the things that you stand for in the world. Now, Elon, did you have a list of things that you were looking at?
But you know, before you get going on that, I want to find out what is the total aura of the event at Disney?
Good question.
That's a great question. So So let me give a brief background. Kindred Spirits is now in our second year of creating these world humanitarian events. The concept is to be able to raise money for world humanitarian causes, as well as raising some knowledge, letting people know about these incredible causes that are out there. And so the aura of the event, as you say, is really a celebration of humanitarianism, a celebration of people and the wonderful things that people do. And so our aura on Sunday is going to be about really coming together, celebrating the gifts that we have and the gifts that we can share, and celebrating all the great work that Heifer International, our beneficiary this year, is doing in passing on those gifts that we donate to them and give to them to others who really need our help, and teaching them also how to pass on those gifts to others. That just because you may be in need today doesn't mean that tomorrow you can't pass on the gifts that you've received. And it's really going to be just a big celebration, real exciting. I'm sure, Ed, you remember how exciting it was last year and the music that went on, and just really it was...
Hold on. I want to say something here, because what you're saying is, it's a general statement about what's happening, but I don't know that our listeners know what Heifer International is, and there's a lot of deliciousness to what's actually happening in this honoring. I mean, there are specific intriguing things, like the Grossman Burn Center. Now, obviously, they did something that made you step up and say, hey, I want to honor them. What was it that they had done?
Well, you know, the Grossman Burn Centers have been around for a great many years. And they actually all started out. It started out when Dr. Richard Grossman, the senior Grossman, was a resident in New York, I believe. And there was a terrible fire that happened at a Catholic parochial school, and I believe something like 92 of the students, unfortunately, were killed.
Wow!
And all of the burn victims of this fire were brought to his emergency room, where he was a resident.
And you know what's nice is the Grossman taking care of all the Catholics.
You know what? Absolutely. And today the Grossman, they've gone from creating the Grossman Burn Centers to creating the Grossman Burn Foundation, where they are trying to open up burn centers all over the world, and really trying to help those.
So do they have do they have a specific technique or something that makes them unique?
Actually, Richard Grossman created many of the techniques that are used to be able to heal burns in a faster, more qualitative way.
That's totally great. That's totally great. What about Heifer International?
Well, let me talk about the Grossman first.
Okay, you want to talk about Grossman? Do it. We're on a kind of schedule here.
What?
Go for it. I just may interrupt at certain occasions because I have to keep us on schedule.
Well, I don't know anything about a schedule. All I know is that my youngest son, Charles, when he was a toddler, put his hand on a stove and burned his finger badly, would have crippled it. And we took him to the Grossman Burn Center, and they took a little piece of skin off his tushy and grafted it onto his finger, and he has a perfectly fine finger now. So I have a personal debt to Dr. Grossman.
And I appreciate that, and that's the kind of stuff that's why I'm having this show, Ed, is because of this personal touch, because I personally followed you around on a number of occasions from place to place as you stand for things. And I know that when you see something that moves you, like the different plays and things that I've seen you in, things of that nature, I've seen you go there and stand up for what moves you when you were physically uncomfortable or tired or whatever.
I'll be physically uncomfortable and tired Sunday night. but I would also say that one of the last shows we did on Lou Grant was it had two storylines. One, a young girl burned badly in a school bus fire, and the city going through an atomic bomb drill, and it showed all the departments of the city working to achieve it. At the same time, you see what this girl is going through in terms of repair at the Grossman Clinic. And it the story then concluded that in an atomic bomb attack, all of the inordinate effort that was going into this girl, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, that there were going to be at least 100,000 people in the city of Los Angeles who would require that kind of treatment should there be an atomic bomb attack in this city.
Oh, my God.
So the enormity and the horribleness of an atomic bomb attack and what it would take to restore these individuals to life was a very grim but telling story. And of course, people certainly didn't like to hear about it.
Now, it's interesting you should mention that. Because I actually met an atomic bomb survivor from Hiroshima. We had a very very intense exchange as we asked each other for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible at a Japanese church. It was just an amazing thing because all of my life, Ed, when I was a little kid, I would see these atomic bomb blasts in my dreams and they would scare me and I didn't know what they were. And I cried and cried and cried about them when I was a child. And finally, when I went to this church and met with a survivor, then I realized what he forgave me and I forgave him. And he said, you never would have bombed us if we hadn't done what we did to Pearl Harbor. So it's like these things are chains that go back and forth through time and space. And Ilan, I know that you're sitting over there, and I'm sure that on some level you must be moved by this conversation on the atomic bomb.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I was wondering if it would be rude to ask you to put a prayer on it, because I think this conversation about atomic bombs needs one of your prayers.
Absolutely. You know, I think that the most appropriate prayer in Judaism for something like this is the prayer for healing.
Yes.
And so we ask, Mishaberach Avotenu Ve'imotenu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, V'Leah. May the one who blessed our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah, and Rachel, Hu Yivarech et HaCholim, may this one bless all of those who are ill and all of those who are healing, and bless them with complete healing, not just of body, but of mind and of spirit. And we can all say Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? You know me, Ilan. I love prayers, but I also love it when you sing something. Can you sing something for this,
absolutely,
too?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I love it when you do
so
this.
You know, there's a wonderful, wonderful melody to this that says, Mi sheberach avoteinu, Avraham Yitzchak ve'Yaakov, Mi sheberach imoteinu, Sara, Rivka, Leah, Verachel. May the one who blessed our mothers, may the one who blessed our fathers, hear our prayer, and bless us as well.
Lovely.
It makes
Thank
me,
you.
It really moves me when you sing along.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Really,
well,
really
hope,
moves me. I'm
I
very...
hope it will move you. I hope it will move you on Sunday as well at the concert at Disney Hall this Sunday at 7 p.m. I know you're going to be there, Val.
I totally am.
So
I'll try to make it.
You bet you will.
you know, Ed, when you say you're going to try to make it, I believe that because I know you've got a performance that afternoon at 2 o'clock. So.
Yeah,
where are you performing?
At the West Side... Wait a minute. When we're on Sunday, I think we're at the Valley JCC. We're at the on Olympic Boulevard at the Westside JCC.
So you're doing a performance for them?
It's called The Immigrant.
Do you want to invite the public?
Of course.
Well, go for it.
I invite you.
Okay, how do they find out about it? That's very good, Ed. How do they find out about it? Where to go?
It's the Westside Jewish Community Center at 5870 West Olympic Boulevard.
So just call Westside Jewish Community Center for this one.
Right.
And what's the charge for it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe $10. I don't know.
It'll be a fair donation.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that is. Westside Jewish Community Center, good place to go.
They can use any kind of contribution these days.
Yeah, well, I've got some stuff in mind on that, too, which I'll tell you more about later. one of the wonderful things about radio is that you get to have a conversation with Cantor Ilan Davidson and Ed Asner about who we are and what's being honored and what the possibility for the future is. And Ed, you were really eloquent in talking about the Burn Center and its poignancy to you. I personally love those Little Heifer Group people, but I was wondering if you would also tell our listeners what it is about that group that moves you.
Well, rather than talking, they do. It's a phenomenal organization, and I've been involved with it for, I don't know, 20 years maybe, I don't know. But it's based on the idea of, rather than give a man a fish, teach a man how to fish, or teach a man how to grow a fish. And it's based on primarily third world countries, although they do work here in the United States as well, for those who are less fortunate, by giving them the animal or giving them the ability to grow bees and sell their honey. It's based on the fact that if they give a sheep to a family, the family will learn to card the wool and sell the wool to take the milk and make cheese. And any progeny that sheep has, those people are then obligated to present to their poor neighbors the offspring from that sheep. So it's spreading the wealth, so to speak.
That's a great idea.
It involves llamas in South America, oxen, water buffalo in Asia, teaching them how to use the animal and to gift their neighbors with whatever progeny comes forth, be it chickens, be it geese, be it ducks, be it bees, or even in terms of plants, to spread the wealth. And it's a phenomenal idea, and it works very well.
Yeah, it totally does. I'm reminded of a guest that I had on the show 10 or 15 years ago by the name of Pierre Pradervand. And Pierre Pradervand wrote a book called Listening to Africa. And to make a long story short, African women used to spend 8 to 10 hours a day grinding their meal, the meal for the evening meal. Somebody gave one of the villages a grinder, and each of the people in the villages paid 2 pennies to use the grinder, which cut the time down from 8 or 10 hours to about 1. So what happened with the 2 pennies was that they were saved, and one of the pennies was used, the accumulation of one of the pennies was used to buy a new grinder when it wore out. The other one was to give another village a grinder. So within 10 years, there were grain grinders all over Africa from this one simple act. So to listeners, take a look into your own community or your own family. Philanthropy doesn't have to be giving the neighbors chickens, but it can be putting something into use that can be used again. And Cantor Ilan, I know in most synagogues, I believe that there's a really strong connection to community service. Is there not?
Well, absolutely. You know, I think... Look, I don't think that it's a concept that is native to only Jews. I think the concept of Tikkun Olam, about repairing our world, is really something that I think many people of faith share, and that's part of the concept behind kindred spirits, that we have to celebrate our similarities and stop dwelling on our differences.
Now, is kindred spirits of your synagogue in particular, or is it more than one?
Well, no, Kindred Spirits is actually the foundation that I started 2 years ago create this event. and really it's something that we hope will catch on in the future, and that we'll be franchising, if you will, and creating these kinds of events all over the United States and all over the world down the line, because it's really important that we get these kindred spirits together, these people.
That's a good thing. I like it.
That have like thoughts. And you know, I just wanted to share with you, I know I shared with you a couple of weeks ago when I was on your show that I had just gotten back from Guatemala with Heifer International, and really been able to participate in this wonderful tenet of Heifer, which is the passing on the gift. And down in Guatemala, they were passing on seedlings that they had learned how to graft these seedlings already, and to create new trees. And additionally, they were passing on rabbits. And
those little buggers multiply, boy.
Well, they sure do. They multiply. But you know, the amazing thing is, the rabbits aren't being used for their fur or their food source. They're actually being used for their poop.
Rabbit pellets are nicely compacted, aren't they?
You know, and basically they're being used because the people in Guatemala can't afford the chemical fertilizers anymore.
Thank God.
They've gone up, exactly, thank God, absolutely. But chemical fertilizers have tripled over the last year in price. And what was happening was that the native Mayans, the Quechua people that lived there, were beginning to destroy the cloud forest, because rather than buy the chemical fertilizer, they were burning their crops to stimulate the soil.
Oh my God!
And it was ending up destroying parts of the cloud forest. So to try and save the cloud forest, and to try to save this people from themselves, you know, in a sense, they're being taught agroecology, and they're being taught to use these rabbits for their manure, and additionally, they're being taught how to compost. So, you know, amazing things going on.
No, composting,
using
totally
the red
true.
Worms and planting these crops rather than relying on animal husbandry. They're learning that they can make more money by planting these fruit trees
so
for themselves.
So all of this is a big deal is happening on Sunday, right? 7
o'clock? It's a huge deal on Sunday at 7
o'clock. Big deal.
You bet. And tickets will be available at the door. Tickets start at a $54 donation. And you know, all of your monies are going to be going to worthy causes, and that's what's really exciting about it. You know, we're going to be able to give 50% of the net proceeds to Heifer International. And the amazing thing that I just learned from Heifer is that in the tradition of passing on the gift that they have, they've decided to pass on a portion of their proceeds from the concert to the Grossman Byrne Foundation.
I was going to ask how that was going to work.
So, I mean, it's just phenomenal to me, the fact that they've made this decision that because they believe in passing on the gift and because they believe in what Grossman Byrne Foundation is doing. You know, I mean, we're doing a nice thing. We're giving Grossman Byrne Foundation a trophy, and we're recognizing them for the wonderful work that they do. But what Heifer is doing by passing on some of the funds, especially in this economic climate.
It's true giving, by the way.
I'm sorry?
It's true giving. I was trying to remember this name of this book that I read about giving, and it was like when the American Indians gave the pilgrims the food and stuff that they gave them,
mm-hmm.
and the different gifts that they gave them. Actually, their concept of giving was to keep something moving through the community. So when we take ownership of things and hold them and say, this is mine, which Heifer didn't do,
right.
Real gift giving is to take of that gift that was given to you and then pass it on enhanced.
Absolutely.
So that's what you're, and there's a whole book on it, you know?
Yeah, and the pilgrims eventually repaid the favor by giving the Indians the finger.
Oh, more than that, Ed. They gave them the bullet and they gave them the knife as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty nasty part of history. And the whole thing is, I don't think this country, for the most part, still understands what true giving is. You know, giving is not an ownership. I own this car and I give you this car. It's that I pass energy along. In the original conversation in the book was so interesting because they were just using shells and food as a goat, actually, Alon. They used goat as a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody gave the family a goat. They
Absolutely.
Bred a couple. They took milk and then they passed the goat along to the next family.
Right.
And there was no ownership. Now, I was actually struck by a thing. I went to a Jewish Women's League dinner for my friend Abby Scher was honored for her work. And
That's
I
wonderful.
Was really struck by, I've eaten a lot of chicken at a lot of dinners, you know? And they tend to be, you know, complimentary to all of that stuff. But what I really heard when at that league dinner and what I associate with synagogues, there was a legacy. I don't think that it's a new thing. I think that it's been a huge part of the Jewish culture. Is it the mitzvah? I mean, do we have a word for it even? I don't know.
You know, it is a mitzvah, and the mitzvah, the word mitzvah actually means a sacred obligation.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's a depth to it in your religion that I don't think is we don't hold it as a sacred obligation.
Right. No, I completely understand what you're saying, and I think that's another big lesson that we're trying to teach through Kindred Spirits, that we do all have a sacred obligation to each other and to this world. And it's not about taking care of ourselves alone. It's about taking care of each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
That if we aren't kindred spirits, if we don't join together, then we all suffer.
Do you have a mission statement or something that when you turn in your thing to the IRS? What did you say that Kindred Spirits was?
Oh my goodness.
Can you remember?
Come back to me on that, because I'm going to pull that up really quick so
okay,
I can read it to you.
It's like when you make a 501c3, you have a vision or a goal behind it, and I'm going to think that's part of what's going on here is this that obligation, not like a burden, but
well,
like a strength. I'm obliged to do the right thing as a strength.
Absolutely. And
Elon, we're actually going to take a little break right here. We're on the air with Cantor Elon Davidson, who has got his little mission statement that he'll be bringing after the show, after the break. We've also got Ed Asner here, a recent movie, like last week, Up. Go see it. It's terrific. We've already made sure that Cantor Elon and his family are going. And right now we're going to listen to Diamond Alignment.
Fantastic.
We live in a world that is more alive with possibility than ever before in history. Yet it is easy to get lost in the confusion and chaos of such an accelerated world. How do we stay connected and aligned with the unlimited potential that lies within us and soar in these exciting yet challenging times? Diamond Alignment, a sacred technology for the 21st century, offers high-speed connection and alignment with this divine power within, both convenient and profound. The 6-minute multi-sensory diamond experience, delivered via the internet, clears your mind, relaxes your body, and creates inner peace no matter what is going on around you. The Diamond Alignment experience effortlessly keeps you charged with joy and equanimity and greater focus and clarity throughout your day. When you experience the expansive energy of Diamond Alignment, you activate the unlimited wealth
way she gives my testimonial. Diamond Alignment is a sacred transmission that you can actually get a further sample of it on our website by going to wakinguponamerica.com. Scroll down towards the bottom of the page, click on Diamond Alignment, and it actually does work in your electromagnetic field. It clears blockages and assists you in receiving divine spirit. And anybody that knows my story about going to Washington, D.C. because I wanted to go to Barack Obama's inauguration and how I ended up in the $8,500 seats and everything in two balls and everything on short notice, Diamond Alignment helped me do the trick. So I highly recommend that. I also want to thank the other people that make our show possible here, and that's Stardoves. If you want to mail to 100,000 really good people for really incredibly low rates, and I'm talking under maybe $40 for that whole 100,000 there, Stardust can arrange that for you, and I've had great success with them. Give Ra a call at 828-665-0411. That's 828-665-0411, and tell them Val sent you. Just very, 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 very high-quality people. Need a little rest from what's going on in the United States? There is no swine flu. That was all a big piece of baloney. Mexico is safe. Finally, everybody woke up and started flying back and putting the ships into port again. Roberto's Bungalows is on the beach in beautiful San Pancho, 45 minutes north of Puerto Vallarta. Steve and Diana will really take very good care of you, and the town is just totally charming. Telephone number, 971-239-4120. That's 971-239-4120, and tell them Dal sent you. And really, be prepared for one of the most pleasant experiences of your life. So there you go. We're on the air with Ed Asner of the new movie Up, about to be honored probably for the 7,000th or 8,000th time, I'm not sure, at the Disney Music Hall this coming Sunday, 7 p.m. And there's not enough time to honor him. I don't want to compliment him too much, as Elon will testify to. He goes to the dark side. If you say too many nice things to him, he can't stand it. So we won't go back to Ed right now. We'll just go back to Cantor Elon. And then after you tell us what your mission is, you can start praising him, and then the listening audience can, like, watch him break down. Okay, what do you think, Elon?
Well, I think that's a great idea. So just to share with you, you asked me before the break, you asked me about our mission statement.
Yeah.
It's very simple. It's a simple mission statement. Kindred Spirits is a nonprofit humanitarian organization that inspires and educates diverse communities to support our global partners in their efforts to heal the world.
See? I told you were about communities.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, that's all it takes is community.
That's all it takes. And, you know, and I think that that's one of the reasons why we chose Ed as one of our honorees this year, because Ed has been such a champion in his life of human causes and of people. And that's really what we're about, is championing people, letting people know that they have, you know, to quote one of my great mentors in singing, to quote Barbara Streisand, that people need people.
You know? Very good.
I
think you said you were four, didn't you, when you started wanting to be a cantor?
I was five, yeah.
Five?
5 years
okay,
old.
Okay, so I was off by a year. Ed, we want to know when you woke up and knew that you had to stand up for things in the world.
I suppose when I was having the crap beat out of me.
How old were you?
Well, I don't know. 8 or 9.
So somebody was beating the crap out of you, and you said, you know, that was because you were like a Jewish boy or something?
Yeah,
you were one time you were a Jewish boy. Now you're a Jewish man. Oh, what's the? So was this a gang beating?
No, just a couple guys in the neighborhood.
And you said to yourself, after those couple guys in the neighborhood worked you over, what'd you say?
When I grow up, I'm going to kill them.
Right, I'm not going to take any more of this crap.
Right.
Well, you actually softened a bit in your approach, since I don't think you have any body count.
No, I killed them.
You did kill them?
Yeah, when I grew up.
Where are they buried?
In Kansas.
In Kansas, okay.
That's where I'm from.
Oh, you're from Kansas?
Yeah.
I thought you were from New York for some reason.
No, that's a mistake a lot of people make.
You and Dorothy, right?
Yeah, right.
So, are they at a marked grave or an unmarked grave?
I don't think their bodies were ever found.
Oh, okay, just thought I'd find out about that. So you started out 8 or 9 when somebody was giving you some crap, and you said, I'm not going to put up with this.
Right.
And then you carried that through in just a lot of ways. Like, I worked with you on the 9/11 conversation.
Yeah.
Is there any update you would like to give us on that?
Well, the only update lately is that they found all kinds of dust in the buildings surrounding 9/11, which that dust can only come from the thermite and its relative related properties, which are used to
detonate
buildings.
Yeah. You know, did you ever watch the Vegas hotels come down when they were collapsing the old ones?
Looks just like 9/11.
Looked just exactly like it, and that was what I knew, actually.
Yeah.
So that's information. That's good information. I wonder if anybody will ever decide to take a stand on knowing who did it.
Not in America. We don't do those things.
Is there a country that does?
Well, I don't think they have the enormity of the crimes that are committed here.
Well, I have to tell you, when I was at the Nobel Laureates Conference in Rome and people were treating me really badly because I was American, not all of them were treating me really badly, but I made friends with Betty from Ireland, one of the laureates, and she said, dear, we know what you're going through, we just don't talk about it publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually reassuring.
Yeah.
You know, I felt good about that because I actually, one of the reasons I went to the Nobel Laureates Conference was to escape Bush's face from the newspapers. And instead, his face was in color on every newspaper in every country that I went to. So that didn't work. Fortunately, it's not an issue now. But I have to tell you my funniest thing about the inauguration, okay? So the inauguration is all over. The helicopter is leaving. I think it's Michelle and Barack because they're going to go party with people. And the place is screaming bloody murder. And I look up at the screams, and all I see is the helicopter leaving. It wasn't Barack and Michelle. It was Bush leaving.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was the most fun.
Mm.
2.2 million people screaming their brains out as Bush left office. Incredibly satisfied. But here we're taking a look at, I know that recently you've been interested in the public television channels.
Yeah.
And that hasn't worked out too well so far, has it?
Yeah, it has. We tested enough and created enough people to speak out at the city council hearings so that the city is now supposedly going to fund four channels.
Oh,
I believe.
That's excellent.
Great.
I don't have all the details on this because I'm not a detail man.
No, I understand. I'm right there in your ballpark. One of the things that was interesting to me was I thought that that funding was already in place and had been given to the TV stations to exist. So didn't they kind of like siphon the money off?
The city council or the city appropriated it for other purposes.
Yeah. Now, how can they do it? I mean, isn't there a little issue there?
Well, yeah, it's their hand has been in the cookie jar for years, and our protests finally drew enough attention that the city woke up and realized that with the cancellation by Time Warner of keeping these studios alive for public access, that the city had to do something that it hadn't been doing for many years, appropriating the money for other purposes.
Yeah.
And now, supposedly, we'll see what happens.
We're going to have to monitor them, huh?
Yeah.
So, Cantor, you have to keep an eye on these guys, keep them honest.
You bet. And, you know, I mean, Ed's going to get a chance right there at Kindred Spirits on Sunday to talk off of one of our city council people if he wants. Janice Hahn will be...
going to be there?
Councilwoman Janice Hahn of the 15th District.
She's a wonderful council person.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I'll talk to her, too.
Okay.
And then maybe we can do something on that. See, one of the things that I'm really interested in now is getting communities in action.
Well, seeing the failure of national government, it's only through local communities that you can fight the bastards.
Do you know what a nuclear park is, Ed?
No.
Okay, so a nuclear park is where they dump atomic waste, okay? There's like...
Oh, they call it a park?
Yeah, they call it a park. Don't you think that's pretty funny?
That's great. That's a great... Well, you know, this 1984, it's doublespeak.
You bet. So the nuclear park, that's because you can't put anything... You can't park anything there for 200 million years afterwards.
Yeah.
So they dumped their nuclear waste in there, and they went into this little town in Kentucky. They were going to dump their nuclear waste, and the townsfolk said, no, you're not. And I don't think people, you know, alone, you can't say no, you're not necessarily to have it paid attention to. But if you have the entire town saying no, you're not, guess what? You're not.
Well, thank God at least we have that. Now, traditionally, what we do is that we'll end up shipping that sludge to Paraguay.
Yeah, and pick them up for 200,000.
Until the people there wake up and realize the gift that they've been given.
Yeah, right. The gift, you know, a lot of listeners may not know that depleted uranium, which is now included as a staple in our wars, actually contaminates the lands that it's used in for about that same 200 million years.
Well, with all of these the great savants who are out there preaching atomic energy, which as of now still costs too much and is still very risky in terms of creating nuclear power plants, what people don't realize is they never take into consideration the waste product from these plants and how poisoned.
Oh, it's terrible.
Everything becomes wherever you park it.
Well, I had wanted to ship this stuff to the moon, and I was talking to Jonathan Granoff about that. I thought, why don't we just put atomic waste in a little disposable spaceship and shoot it towards the moon? Not toward the moon, towards the sun. And he says, because if we had an accident, we would ruin the entire Earth.
Yeah, well.
But that's how toxic
it is. The genie that was let out of that bottle should not be nourished in terms of nuclear power. France is pursuing it seemingly avidly. I believe Germany is closing down whatever plants they've had in the past.
But this is because of the last 8 years. And I really do think people are going to start to back off from that, especially if you have a cantor on the program singing about these different things. And
I don't hear him sing enough.
Cantor, it's time again. Can you tell?
I think I'm getting my cue, yes.
Yeah, you're getting your cue. See, we just like puff it up with all the crud that's going on. So this is for all the dead bodies. This is for all the contaminated lands. This is for removing the illusion that we're at war with each other.
Well, a good friend of mine in Minneapolis, his name is... that's always good when I say a good friend of mine.
I know.
Me
too. We'll call him Bob, okay?
I can't think of Mark's last name right
there
now.
There you go.
But anyway, he wrote a great song called Tikkun Olam, which, as I mentioned earlier, means to heal the world. And he said, it says, Tikkun Olam, the world repairing. Tikkun Olam, so let's start sharing. And I think that he right away just has the right idea.
I love that.
We have a job to repair this world, and part of that repair has to be finding alternatives to the destruction that we...
Now, I can tell you're on your cell phone, okay? We forgot to mention that you were shifting.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm on my way to Walt Disney Concert Hall right now, actually.
Yes, he is, and
meeting.
He's doing everything he can to stay present and be great. So this warbling is a little cell phone-ish. I want you to... I want to record that. Are you still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I want to record you singing that, but not from a cell phone.
You got it. We'll record it another time for you so you can use it. And I'll even put on more of the song for you when I've got the words in front of me.
Instead of
the 110 freeway.
here's what I want from you. I want like a 30-second version.
You got it.
And then like, how long is the entire song?
You know, it's probably a 3-minute song would be my guess.
Okay, so I'd like a 30-second version and a minute version and then the 3-minute version.
You got it.
You do that.
You got it. I'll even check with Mark if you can have his professional recording of it to you.
Oh, I would like that. I would like that because I really think that really hit a nerve with me. Tikkun Olam?
Tikkun Olam.
Tikkun Olam? How do you spell it?
That's right. T-I-K-K-U-N.
Tikkun.
Tikkun. And then the second word is Olam, O-L-A-M, which
Tikkun
is the world.
Olam.
There you go. You got it.
Tikkun Olam. I love it. I have it now. I could forget it, but I want to do the short version, and I think I want to do it as to end the radio show.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm very moved by Ed. I guess I'm very moved by you, Ed. After I have been, I actually have a crush on Milan. I'm actually admitting it publicly now. You're just one of the finest human beings I ever met in my life, and I'm glad to know you. And you're just a wonderful old crusty bugger as well.
Mwah.
Wah.
Mwah.
Yeah. You're a crusty bugger.
Mwah.
Yes. You are an adorable crusty bugger.
Just shows there's no accounting for taste.
No, and it just I kind of think I'm probably not alone either, am I, Elon?
You know, I don't know if you'd have such a crush, though, Val, if you saw that video of Ed kissing a goat. It's really a but it is a great... It's a great
statement.
It was a
beauty queen until I kissed her.
Causes that he believes
in. Did you hear that? He said she was a beauty queen until he kissed her.
There you go. You know what? I just see it as a great statement about what Ed will do for things that he believes in. And I think that's why we're honoring you on Sunday night, Ed, is because you really go the extra mile for the causes and the people that you believe in. And you went that extra mile for us last year by participating in our in our Kindred Spirits program last year when you knew nothing about us and when we were brand new, just getting off the drawing room floor. And
then Milan, how did you find him?
You know, actually, I found him through another friend of his, Phil Blazer, the king of Jewish media, I like to call him.
Yeah.
Phil Blazer, who is the owner of Blazer Media Group, and Phil hooked me up with Ed, and he said we wanted to have somebody read a quote from David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of the state of Israel, and Phil said, got to have Ed. Ed's got to come and do it. I've had him read Ben-Gurion before, and then it's almost like looking at the man.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting connection.
Yeah, I can't stand on my head the way Ben-Gurion did.
Yeah, he was kind of the big yogi, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
You bet.
Well, now, I don't have to make a speech at this event, do I?
Oh, you have to say thank you, but that's all you have to do.
Well, I'll let me pre-record it.
Let you pre-record it?
So what are you going to say? What are you going to talk to people about? This is
me.
You got a lot of stuff you're doing. What would you like to talk about on Sunday?
Well, the excellence of their choices of who they honor, Heifer, Dr. Grossman Clinic. It's you can't go wrong there. It is repairing the world in spades.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, my interest. I found out how Elon found you. You must get just tons and tons and tons of offers. What made you say yes when he asked you to help?
It's that bastard Phil Blazer.
His ears should be burning right now.
He attaches himself to you like an octopus, and it's hard to dislodge yourself from his eight arms and suckers.
Is he a great philanthropist?
He is, and he works night and day, and he does a lot of beautiful things. So I even though he's Jewish, I like him.
So you know when Phil asks you to do something that it's got quality to it?
Yeah.
Okay, so did you hear that, Alon?
You know what? I love that. And Phil's been a big supporter of ours from the very beginning, and we can't appreciate him enough for all of his support. In fact, I was just on his show last Sunday morning, and on television, KSCI Channel 18. Phil has a show every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock where he talks about important things to the Jewish community, and he interviewed myself and Dr. Noreen Green, the conductor of the LA Jewish Symphony, who will be conducting her almost 60-piece orchestra this Sunday night in our program.
Oh, so she'll be there too. That's great.
You bet, and we've got a 120-voice interfaith gospel choir as well. And then my wonderful friends and colleagues, Alicia Pierce and Ron Lee Paz. Ron is an internationally acclaimed opera and theater star, and Alicia has toured in national companies with musical theater, and now they've settled down in their lives to serve congregations here in the L.A. area as well. She's the cantor of the Temple of the Arts. And Ron is the cantor of the I think it's called the North Valley Outreach Synagogue, if I'm not mistaken. And so you know, we've got amazing performers and me.
So how it's going to run for like what, 7 to 10, something like that?
It's going to go from about 7 to 9:30 or so. It's probably
7 to 9:30. Okay, very good. And they can buy tickets at the door.
Absolutely. Let's have 300 people show up at the door. That'll make life so much more wonderful for the world.
Now, taking on the music hall was a pretty bold step.
You know, we chose Walt Disney Concert Hall on purpose, actually. We chose it because being Kindred Spirits means that we also believe in our city and our county and being a part of community. And Walt Disney Concert Hall is not privately owned. It's owned by the County of Los Angeles.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was privately owned. How interesting.
No, it's part of the L.A. County Music Center. And actually, Supervisor Don Canabi was very instrumental in getting us into the music hall. So we've got wonderful support that has been behind us from day one. And it's so exciting to feel like we're a part. We're definitely a part of something greater than ourselves.
Oh, totally. Where is your home synagogue?
We're in San Pedro, the port of Los Angeles.
Very good. So how would people find out about you if they wanted to go to your synagogue?
If they wanted to go to my synagogue, they can go to BethelSP.org. That's our synagogue website. If you want to know more about Kindred Spirits, though, then go to www.kindredspiritslive.org, K-I-N-D-R-E-D, spirits, plural, live.org.
That's so perfect. Ilan, thank you so much. Hang on for a few minutes. We're almost over. Ed, I want you to tease the heck out of people about UP and let them know about that, because I saw it on Tuesday and I loved it.
Well, I always think of the terms of the fact that UP is P-U spelled backwards.
As I said, the dark side comes out.
No.
Seriously. When you made that movie, did it have any, did it ring a bell with you? Did it, you know, did you have any moments with it? Anything of that?
I had many moments with it. I love doing voice work, and I was working with two genius animators, Speed Doctor and Bob Peterson,
mm-hmm.
and they're geniuses, and they created a wonderful fabric with all the various elements woven in. Christopher Plummer is one of the finest actors on the planet.
Now, he was the evil guy, right?
Yeah, and has never really received the acclaim that he deserves. The amazing thing is that this young boy, Jordan Nagai, who plays Russell in the movie, I don't know if he's ever acted before. He's a rank amateur.
He did a great job.
And Pete Doctor just worked wonders in evoking those various sounds and deliveries from him. So,
actually commenting to a friend that if somebody else had delivered the same similar lines, not badly, but that I would have reacted differently.
So
you have a certain image that you bring with yourself of being this lovable coot.
That's me, baby.
So that's great. I mean, even to the glasses and the way the whole thing. Who plays the full-size version that you...
Oh, well, I like that version.
I know. It was a good slip. I knew you'd like it.
A virgin version of me?
Yeah, the virgin of you.
Yeah.
Who's there a guy that's going around being that character?
Oh, yeah, they've got somebody in a stuffed outfit.
So you have a much better thing there. So you got some pretty good reviews on it, huh?
Excellent.
What did you like best about the movie, and what do you think your audience liked best about the movie?
Well, you know, I still came out of the old days of animation. You know, a tear here, a tear there, and captivation. So when I saw WALL-E first, and I said, my God. This is adult. This really triggers an adult consideration of the world we live in and are
WALL-E.
Heading into.
I loved WALL-E with those.
Yeah.
Fat
then, and
bad.
Then I take part in UP, and when I finally see the finished product, I realize, and it happens here too. This is an adult film.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It totally is, and I just really want to thank you for doing that. I'm going to be there with... I'm going for 3 tickets, Ilan. I want to be there with another friend who I think will go crazy about this. Thank you for being here, both of you, very much. What can I say? Go see UP. It's playing right now. You're gonna like it for a lot of reasons, and when you look around the movie theater, you're going to see there's a lot of grown-ups in it. Ilan, what's the best number for them to call for tickets?
You know, at this point, this late in the game, the best thing to do is to go to Ticketmaster.com or to just show up at the door and buy tickets right there at the door. There's seats available in all sections.
Okay, great. And this is Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Get there a little bit early.
You bet.
It's at the Walt Disney Music Hall. If you haven't seen it, that place, it's just really amazing. This program has been brought to you by the Golden Hearts Foundation in association with Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, KoningCompany.com, Mona V, Max GXL, Dr. James Murphy, and Memoriam. And thank you to the team at Voice America and to Bent Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. Next week, invite a friend to listen and write us at val@wakingupinamerica.com and also visit our website at wakingupinamerica.com. And Ilan, say that thing again, because I've already forgotten it.
Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam. And my friend's name in Minneapolis, his name is Mark Bloom. Great, great composer, great songwriter. Tikkun Olam, healing the world.
Okay, so I want you to sing it as we go off the air.
You got it. Tikkun Olam, the world repairing. Tikkun Olam, so let's start sharing. We can make our world much better. Let's commit to work together. Repair the world, Tikkun Olam.
There you go, Tikkun Olam.
You're beautiful.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk.